Good morning. Welcome to Get the Most Out of Your Social Media. Changing the World Through Stories, that's a better title. This is Matt Maxwell. After graduating from ACU in 2007, he and his lovely wife Katie moved to LA on a hope and a prayer and a dream to work in the entertainment industry, and did so. Matt had the privilege of working on ABC's Wipeout. For those of you that love those kind of shows, it was fun to watch. And also worked with Frank Marshall and Kathleen Kennedy. Since 2012, he has been the visual arts director for the Golf Course Road Church of Christ in Midland. So, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad you're here. Thanks, guys, for coming. I appreciate everyone here. Like Steve said, my name is Matt Maxwell. I'm the Visual Arts Director at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. Like many people who have worked in a church or who currently work in a church, you wear many hats, and so the title is very vague on purpose, but I like to say I am the resident storyteller, and it's really a dream job for me to be working in a church, and my job is to tell the stories of the church visually. My talent and background is in film, and so that's where most of my storytelling is done. But it's everything through photography, through Instagram, through Facebook, through posts. And just as you all know, we all tell stories, and I help curate the stories of our church. So when I first got invited to Summit, I was like, we were really big into social media or going through a big push at Golf Course Road. And I was like, oh man, I can definitely teach a class on this. And then as I started putting it together, because I was going to do something similar for Pepperdine in May, as I was putting the class together, I was like, oh, this is really boring. And a lot of the stuff, I was afraid that you guys would know more than me. And it's honestly true that you would. But as I was putting it together, I was realizing how much story is involved in the posts that we make and create. And I just wanted to tell you some of my experiences with stories, some stories that I thought were minuscule and tiny, and the ripple effects they have had, somewhat as an encouragement to say even the tiniest stories can have big impacts. And we all know that. We all love to root for the underdogs. We all love the little stories with big impact. Two little stories I'm hoping to hear about from this school is next year. Aren't we playing Baylor? I mean, wouldn't that be an awesome little story of us beating Baylor? And then the next year, A&M, I hear. I mean, those are the stories I'm rooting for. But yeah, let's move on. Again, let me apologize for the class change. That's why. Okay, so in preparing for this class, I Googled films that have changed the world. I was curious what I would find. And on several lists, there was this short film that we're about to see a trailer for A Girl in the River. HBO Documentaries did it. Has anybody seen it? It's a short documentary. It's a powerful film, and we're going to just watch it real quick. So very vague trailer, but I just wanted to get you a sense of it. It's about this woman right here who, in their culture, she fell in love with the wrong family. And that is something you don't do in that culture. And because of that, her father and uncle felt the need to kill her. And that was acceptable in their culture. And so they tried to kill her, and they dumped her in the river, and she just happened to survive. And so this is the story of her trying to bring justice or recognition to this thing called honor killing. And so it's a powerful story. It's short, so if you're not a big fan of documentaries, it's an easy one to consume. And it went on to win the Oscar. And so as I was Googling all this, like so many things, I went down a rabbit hole. My ADD was going like crazy. And I discovered this wonderful introduction by Louis C.K. At the Oscars. And so from this, I found this little segment, which I think is just wonderful.
Here to present the award for Best Documentary Short Film, which is my favorite award. This is easily my favorite subject. It really is, because this is the one Academy Award that has an opportunity to change a life. Because, I mean, I'm happy for all of you, but you came here winners and you're leaving millionaires. It's not going to make that big a difference. The rest of the Oscars are going to mansions and the homes of people with good unions and who will always work. These people, this is documentary short film. It's not even a documentary feature, you know? Al Gore got one of those, and Michael Moore got... you cannot make a dime on this. These people will never be rich as long as they live. So this Oscar means something, because all they do is tell stories that are important. Now, you all do, but you also get rich. But these people, all they got is this Oscar is going home in a Honda Civic. The person who owns this Oscar is going to be the nicest thing they ever own in their life. It's going to give them anxiety to keep it in their crappy apartment. Here are the nominees for Best Documentary Short
Subject. So I love it, because he encapsulates the importance of these short stories. Even though they're not going to get the feature limelight, they're so important. She wins on, the director of A Girl in the River goes on to win the Oscar, and we're not going to listen to her speech, but she talks about the importance of story, and she said the Prime Minister has seen the film, and he is right now fighting to end the rules of honor killing in their country. Because all of a sudden, the whole world knew about this, or a significant portion. And so her short film, is making an impact on the world. So, that is a little film, and I'm the one to talk about some of my films. I am very lucky, again, to have this job at Golf Course Road. I'm able to travel the world to tell the stories of our church. I've been to Panama, Kenya, Cambodia, and while I'm there, I tell these epic stories. Panama, I'm in deep in the Darien rainforest, and there's Colombia right there, and the drug traffic. I told this story of these tribes these missionaries who go to these tribes deep in the rainforest. Grace in Kenya survived the 2007 election violence, where she saw her husband murdered in front of her, and she was abandoned, as well as several other people from different various tribes. They survived in the desert, eaten alive by mosquitoes, where someone from one of our organizations found her, and then they were able to make a new community called Kikitimo, and she is the leader, which is unusual in Kenya culture, for a woman to be the leader of this new community. And it's an incredible story. And then from there, I've filmed Sukhum in Cambodia, who survived the genocide in Cambodia, I filmed him in front of the killing fields where he witnessed his dad murdered right next to him. They pushed him into one of the holes. He survived. They put him in in a prison camp. He survived that, and it was just this crazy story. He made it to America for 20 years, and then he felt the need to go back and minister to the people that slaughtered his own family. Incredible story. But that's not what I want to talk about here. I want to talk about the very first film that I shot in at Golf Course Road, the Friday Morning Breakfast Ministry. And it's a ministry that is very small. We're about to see just a short cut of it. And I just did it because it was my first project jumping in at this church, and I was highlighting different ministries we're doing. And this is one of the easy ministries. It was something I threw together. And for the next 10 or so minutes, I want to talk about the ripple effects of this one little video. I'm sorry, this is... Let me switch over. Excuse me real quick. Is it good?
Yes.
In what way?
Thank you for talking. I don't feel so bad. It's happened to me all the time.
Oh, well, oh, you mean this part? Oh, good. I'm glad my class can provide something in the technical area. Okay, so I'm just going to do laptop. Let's see what happens.
Say Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. And he also included, you know, computer snafus, tech snafus.
Wonderful.
With the Friday Morning Breakfast Ministry, and we're serving at Faith Temple Fellowship at this point in time. We have breakfast, we have lunches for the men to take with them. We serve people in the community. We serve homeless persons in our area, and we serve different people who come in that have heard about the ministry. We don't advertise. It just goes by word of mouth that they find a good place to come for a meal.
A lot of these guys, you won't see them during the week, but they're here Friday. You betcha.
Shelter. Find us a place where you can rest. The days is real cold, the days real hot. It's hard to find a shelter sometimes. That's the toughest part to me.
Some of it is by choice, and we know that. And other times it's just circumstances that just are beyond their control. And it makes it very, very difficult for them. And it makes it difficult for us to figure out how to help. And sometimes we can't. One little man that was very arthritic, when we were serving one day, I said, would you like some juice or some coffee? And he said, just a little cup of water. So, we need cups of water, nothing else. I'm sure this is one of the smallest ministries that GCR has, but we're grateful that they can help us serve. and even though many of them have not seen the facility or seen us as we work, this way they can. It's good.
I never miss. I love Fridays.
So, very first film, it's fine. I mean, I go back, I'm like, man, that color was way off, sound was not great, equipment was not good, but the story was good. The soundtrack made it a little bit more emotional, and I thought, yeah, this is good. And I went on and I did several more videos. But it wasn't until a year later that one of my good friends was going to guest preach, and he wanted to, of course, shoot a video at the last second to help supplement his sermon, and we shot something. We had a friend here, Patty Holt, who got involved with the homeless ministry, and they go out and feed the homeless at night, especially when it's freezing, and he wanted us. My friend Ryan wanted to go film them as they were doing it, and we could throw something together for a sermon. I think that was a Thursday night. He was preaching on Sunday. I was a little bit upset by it, of course, being last second, but he was my friend. We were going to do it. And so this is the story that unraveled as we filmed.
Hello, it's Patty with Church Under the Bridge. Anybody here? We've got hot soup, water.
About a year and a half ago, there was a video at church that was just, there were several videos. I think they were highlighting just some ministries that people are involved in that at GCR that a lot of people don't know exist. And one of the videos was for a Friday breakfast ministry that's done at Jesus House in Odessa. And it's where they feed the homeless breakfast. And there were members from our church that do that. And I just didn't even know, you know, that ministry existed. And there were, you know, homeless people on the video talking about how much it meant to them. And I was just in tears thinking about what a wonderful, you know, ministry it was. So I knew that that was something that I wanted to, you know, learn more about or be a part of. And so since I helped coordinate the Wednesday night meals, I contacted one of my friends that helps with Jesus House and asked him if they wanted to do a fundraiser meal. So we planned that. And that night afterwards, we had leftover food, and that was our first ever night strike in Midland. And we just loaded up the extra food from GCR and went out and started looking for homeless people. And it was immediate. I fell in love with it right then. From there, that's how Church Under the Bridge, Midland, birthed.
Actually blows my mind, things that they do. So it's unexpected. So, yeah.
All right.
Hey, nice
we'll
to meet
see you later.
You,
see you Saturday.
Good to see you.
Yeah, 15 and 3. So really 18, the past 18 years. She's been out for 3 weeks. A lot of times we actually meet them for the first time right after they get out of prison because they're homeless, they don't have anywhere to go, they don't have a job. So they show up at Church on the Bridge. So he does work, but of course here you can work and live in a tent because housing is so expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now we're going to go see Rick, Mike, and possibly Tracy. This will be fun.
There. And we got all this grass and we got all the pieces right there. This is all Kenyon behind. behind you is all the flat, bigger pieces. They burn hot.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, come on, let's...
Okay.
Can I video in your house or no?
Yeah, this one.
Okay. This is unreal. They were a little confused. I think they're trying to do the letter.
Good and hearty. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was since I was 14. Didn't get baptized until I was 16. Went in and out of the penal system due to my choices, whatever. You know, just running around the streets or whatever. Went to the military. Went to prison. Came out of prison. And the church, people, normal church, that I think of church, they don't lift a pinky to help people. And they go through the motions. These people actually do it. I'm like, whoa, I don't even want to leave Midland because there's good people like this. You go to any other city, you don't got this going on like this. There's, of course, you got soup lines, you got Salvation Armies and places like that, but they're not helping. And Jesus says, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
You know, like these homeless people that a lot of people overlook or don't want to have anything to do with, or I don't know. The people that make other people uncomfortable are the ones that I love to hang out with. You know, God does. I mean, He meets us where we are in the middle of all the ugly, and when we don't deserve it, and when we've probably made bad choices to get there, God's just like, whoop, all up in the middle of it, right there to love us, show us grace, and be there for us. And that's what we do. I mean, we get all up in the middle of it. The ugly, the scary, the whatever. The things that people don't want to be around and they think is crazy, that's where we're supposed to be. God uses us, and it's big for me because it constantly reminds me of how much He loves us and His grace and how we don't deserve it, but we can turn around and show people that. And I think that's why, you know, we don't go out and pass out Bibles or give them a sermon every time we check on them. I don't think we have to, because we're living out God's love and what He's told us to do. Like, they know something's different by the way that we love them and how we treat them. Like, they're our friends. I mean, they really are, you know, my friends. Because if it wasn't for this ministry and people getting out and, you know, seeking these people out, meeting them where they are, developing relationships with them, they might die never having, you know, somebody that they know loved them or cared about them. Or so, like, even if He doesn't want to come inside or whatever, He loves, kind of like, you know, God is with us. Even if we don't want to listen to Him, we don't want to obey Him and do what He knows is better for us, and we make a different decision, His love's there, grace is still there. So you kind of get to be that to these people, which is what we're supposed to do. What?
She's a hoot. And she's part of what makes the ministry so great. So, you know, I was shooting this. I was like, this is incredible. I mean, this is really neat stuff I'm shooting. I was getting more and more excited as the night went on. I went to this crazy guy's shack of a house thrown together. You don't get a real sense of it. Very close-up shots in this. But it was towards the end that she said the statement that I edited at the beginning, that she watched a video about the Friday Morning Breakfast Ministry, and then I just stopped after that. I was like, wait, you saw that, and that's why you're doing this? And I know my position at Golf Course Road is a luxury, and I felt that from the beginning, that I'm just here to make pretty videos. I'm not here to do sermons or teach classes or really make a difference. And it was the first time in my position that I felt, wow, I kind of helped do something. Or God, not me, it was God using something that I made at the very beginning that I cared really nothing about. And it had this ripple effect to Patty to do this. And then from this video, after we showed it on Sunday, this is 2013, height of the oil boom, someone had an extra $100,000 in their pocket and decided, hey, this is a great ministry to give $100,000 to. And then from that, Church Under the Bridge took off. and it became a ministry throughout Midland. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And so many years go on. Then we're going to get to 2017 with John Mark and Brianna Eccles. And this all connects, don't worry. We first met John Mark and Brianna Eccles in 2013, right here. We shot their wedding video. Does this not look like a wedding video to you? As part of their wedding video, we did this kind of introduction interview piece. And one of their favorite things to do was to go out with their military rifles and pistols and shoot things. And very, very Texas, I guess. So this is how we met them, a very, very fun, loving couple. And then from there, we went and shot their maternity pictures. And so from this relationship, randomly, we developed a friendship with John Mark and Brianna Eccles, just lightly. And then from there, they fell in love with Church on the Bridge a couple years ago. So much so that John Mark decided he wants to devote his life to the homeless. Because he, throughout his whole life, grew up thinking, well, these guys are just lazy. I mean, they're here on the side of the road with a sign. They need to go out and get a job. Or they're going to just take our money and go get in their nice car and go off somewhere else. Well, you know, he realized that some people are just dealt a harder hand in life than he was. He was born and raised in an oil family, has a nice house, grew up, nice oil job, but he found something that his heart longed for, and that was to help the homeless. Well, it went one step further, and there is a community in Austin called Community First. It's through a ministry called Mobile Loaves and Fishes. But this Community First Village is all about tiny homes for the homeless and making a permanent community for the homeless. Well, he loved that idea, and he has it on his heart to bring this to Midland. So we connect with him. Katie hears about it, and I'm needing to shoot a documentary for a degree I'm working on. I was like, wow, this is the perfect story. And so we start shooting in October, John Mark and Brianna, as he quits his job in the oil industry, devotes his life to this ministry that they're calling the Field's Edge. They sell their beautiful house to live in a trailer, and they move to Community First for 4 months, and I film it all. And then they're coming back here. They're back in Midland now, raising money as they live in this trailer to build this community. And they're moving right along. It's really amazing. There's so many different layers to this particular story. One, John Mark comes from a very affluent family, and they don't really like that he has decided to leave that to do this ministry, where Brianna's mother, she barely survived a terrible relationship when Brianna was just young, and they lived in a trailer park for many years. So Brianna won the lottery ticket by marrying John Mark, and now they're deciding to go back into a trailer park, and her mother just doesn't understand. So it's this great division. So I'm going to show you a cut of the trailer. It's a very loose cut, and the film is still right in the middle of filming it, but it'll give you a sense of what they're doing. And then we can do some questions.
How are y'all doing on warm stuff? We got some blankets and we got some like hats and gloves and hand warmers and stuff.
Money helping people like this.
So this is where I grew up, my parents' house. And when we were in high school, they built this on to total 7,200. Coming from this and do a 300 square foot trailer, it'd be a little bit of a change.
We haven't been in this house very long, but we bought the house and we have to buy the stuff to fill the space in the house. And then we put stuff in the stuff that we buy to fill the space.
Streets and make a lasting difference for people like this.
And an hour around here, drum circle. Celebrate, and it's just the coolest thing I've ever done. I've never been to anything like this, and it's amazing.
There are no places to take people to let them dry out or to let them get their life back together. It's not there.
I've been wanting a home. And as of now, I have a home.
So today has been a really interesting day. We had our serve duties and just kind of normal, except that we found out that we're pregnant. Surprise!
So that's the working title right now is Midland for this project. John, Mark, and Brianna, she is very much 9 months pregnant. I am ready for the call to head to the hospital. We actually got a little scare last night because they went there. She had some contractions. I was like, oh no, I got to teach tomorrow. But I got to film this scene. It was a realization when I was putting this class together. I was like, wow. Look what God has done. Look what God took this little seed, and again, I don't want to put light on me. It's just God has done a lot through this one story of Friday Morning Breakfast Ministry to Patty starting the night strikes and helping start Church on the Bridge. And then John, Mark, and Brianna are continuing what Patty start with those night strikes. You can see the similarities there. And I get to film this story. And it's a crazy, wonderful thing. And I want to take questions now because we have 15 minutes and I can go on a little bit further and tell you some more stuff. But I want to answer some stuff or answer questions. But I want to say, even though there are some great, big, epic stories out there, sometimes those stories right next door, right, your neighbor, your neighborhood, the people around you, that's what's going to might have a ripple effect. So don't be afraid to tell those stories. My avenue and expertise and training is in video storytelling, where yours might be in Facebook posts. And my dad and I were just commenting the other day that we have so many friends on Facebook who can write so well and write so much better than we can. And they're doing an incredible thing by the stories they tell. So I want to encourage you to tell those stories. And if I can help you with video or photo, I am here and I'd love to. So before we continue, do we have any questions? Anything that's stirring on you? Thoughts? Yes.
You opened up the piece of Facebook, and that's kind of what I missed the change in the schedule.
I hope you haven't been disappointed.
Well, part of it, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Facebook.
Absolutely.
We're 35 members up where I am. This is my video. Facebook Live, like how could you tell a story through Facebook Live?
Great question. So this last story, that whole piece was kind of, in and of itself is epic. I mean, someone gave $100,000, that's big. I don't expect that to happen at many churches out of the blue. I expect something more like this. And this is a story that I told in one day through Facebook Live and Twitter and Instagram. And it was Mike Cope having a really audacious idea. He thought it would be fun to run, bike, swim 60 miles on his 60th birthday. And he thought, well, that in and of itself is crazy. But he thought, hey, you know, people might want to raise money while I do this. I thought, Mike, really? Really, you think you're that important that people are going to want to raise money for on your 60th? So I was like, we'll go for it. And he wanted to raise money for our Kenya ministry called Kenya Widows and Orphans. And so we were like, great, we're going to shoot updates and Facebook Live throughout this one day, and we're just going to see what happens. And so we start off here at ACU, and then he's running and swimming with his grandkids, and then we end up in Midland at Golf Course Road where he runs the last mile around our building a couple times, and people are there to cheer him on and run with him. And so let me just show you pieces of this real quick. I edited it all together into one shorter piece. So this was shot in chunks throughout the day, and I would give updates throughout the day. So as soon as this morning piece was done, it was a challenge for me too. I went back to my house and I put together this piece, and it was our first kind of announcement that we're doing this. And we put it on Facebook. This is a much more visual cut. I have another cut where he's explaining what he's doing, but it's a little long. So this is just the visual cut of it.
This is it. It comes down. You do this for the snacks.
All right, it's been a great morning. 10 miles down, biked 4 miles about 4:30 this morning, and then ran 6 miles around ACU. It's been a great day, not much wind, so we're heading out for about a 30-mile bike ride right now. Still think
this is part of update two, mid-morning.
Ministry. Thankful to be participating in that with this triathlon today. Looking forward to
this is from our Facebook Live video.
Here. This is Reese Cope. And we've got 44 miles behind, 6 miles of running, and 38 miles of biking. Reese is getting ready to run with me. And Ellie's going to swim with me. And Miles, he's going to bike a little bit with me. He's 1 year old, he'll crawl on the back. So, hope everybody's doing well. We're going to keep plugging away.
Update number 4, I believe.
Former missionary and Bible faculty at ACU did 30 of the miles of biking with me, so thanks again. And Ellie and Miles did little pieces before. Doug Robinson, Justin Rowland are meeting me here. We're about to do 10 more biking miles. And then everybody meet us at GCR at 7:30. We'll run the last mile together. That'll be 60 miles on my 60th birthday. I'm going to KWO.
How are you feeling? Are bad. Because I was trimming it down. I gotta say. So in the end, from that one day, I think we raised $13,000 for KWO, and it was just an experiment for us to do. Let's see what happens. We might get $500, might get $13,000. And so that was a surprise for us as far as social media goes and the impact of it. So what other questions do I have to answer for you? I mean, one of the things that we've discovered is Facebook Live, for whatever reason, gets way more views than any of our other posts. And I imagine it's some kind of algorithm they do to promote, they want you to do Facebook Live. And so if we have something important that we're announcing for our church, this is a good note. Facebook Live is very risky because it is live, but you do get more numbers from it. It gets more views. What other questions?
Do you write and play all the music to your videos?
I do not. So we purchase our music through a service called MusicBed, and you have different rights for different price points. You can use it five times for five different projects or one project, and there's some great artists on there and great music selections. And that's all our music that you've heard mainly comes from MusicBed. Yes?
It seems like you do a lot of documentaries where you're not really writing scripts, but you're...
No, great question. Like scripted drama type pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people want to go into that. That's what I did when I was a student here, is I wanted to direct films and pieces like that. The problem I discovered is it's much more difficult on a small crew to do a dramatic piece. There's so many more moving parts. For me, living in Midland, which is an oil business town, my actor selection was very slim, which is different for a place like Abilene, where you have some great theater departments and students and teachers themselves who have some training in that. Where I am, I do not. And I've done more dramatic pieces, but the way I've gotten around that is I don't have scripts. I've done two or three pieces telling different Bible stories without scripts. It was all visual storytelling. And so that worked for us because it required very little of our actors. They just had to go from here to here and act like this. And we did an adulterous woman video that got a lot of traction. And we just shot it through kind of close-ups of Jesus' finger in the dirt and the woman being thrown on the ground. And we shot it all in slow motion. And it worked well.
My question was, with documentaries, it seems like you have to pose a lot of questions. What are some of the best questions that you usually have to like draw out?
Oh man, that's great, and that just takes a lot of practice. A lot of it is having them restate the question and the answer, make it a complete sentence. And a lot of it is the hardest thing with that is being comfortable with silence, because people hate silence. And so you ask a hard question, and then you just sit there, and then they squirm, and then they continue to talk. And a lot of times that's when the emotion starts coming out. So many of my pieces deal with hard subjects that me being quiet sometimes provides a better question than me forcing something. So that would be a recommendation I would have for you is find that hard type question. Tell me about your feelings. What were you feeling when your husband was killed in front of you? Oh my gosh, I mean, and then they'll answer something quickly that they've told other people, and then you sit there, and then it's like, and then something else comes out. And that's when, you kind of feel bad as a producer, but that's when the gold comes out. That's when the real flesh and blood is presented. Great question. Yes, Tori.
I'll try to make this short. So, I'm in a smaller church.
Yeah.
Like he said, he's got 35. We've got 45 right now on a good day. So we don't maybe have the luxury of access to high-quality video cameras and wireless mics. Do you have any tips for like smaller groups that equipment we might be able to use to put together
good stuff. And please find me. I don't think I have any cards with me. Find me online on Facebook or just our Golf Course Road website and email me. I talk to people all the time about recommendations, and I hope to steer people in the cheapest, most cost-effective manner that will produce some really fantastic effects or offerings. And we live in a day and an age where this phone can do way more than a lot of my high-end cameras. The new iPhone that was released this last week shoots 1080p at 120 frames per second, shoots 4K at 60 frames per second, which is something that my other cameras will not do. It's just they can't do that. And so I always recommend, you know, your phone can do so much, and do as much as you can with the phone that you have. And there's some toys that you can get. Rode makes a lav mic, and you can buy an extension. And we've done a lot of our Facebook Lives that way. We'll just have a little pigtail that comes out of the phone, and it connects to this special lavalier mic. And then it makes the Facebook Live video so much more clear to hear. And we'll shoot that for, you know, 60 seconds to 2 minutes. This is some of my other favorite toys. I do a lot of time lapse. And you haven't really seen that in here. But between interviews, it's great to cut to B-roll. And B-roll is sometimes hard to do. And so I always shoot, any project I shoot, I always have a time lapse going, whether it's GoPro or my phone. And these egg timers, and you can find them on Amazon for about $20. It sticks on your phone, and it's really an egg timer mechanism. It just turns 60 minutes, pop, 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 pop. And then when you get your time lapse, you have this really cool motion of it going, of it turning. It's really neat, it's really cheap, it's a really cool effect for real cheap. And then you can get more expensive, and this guy is programmable, and that one's about $200, I think. And you can program it to do a 2 hour, 90 degree turn, or do it in 30 minutes, or, you know, do it for 2 days. And you can really program how long you want it to turn. As far as apps go, these are some of my favorites. The camera app is wonderful. Motion, this is Motion Flow, and it does wonderful time-lapse effects. The next one is Hyperlapse by Instagram. And it'll smooth, if you just kind of walk around, and it'll do these really, it'll smooth out your bumps, and it kind of gives you a motion lapse effect. And then some editing. iMovie is wonderful, it's free, it can be a little complex. They just introduced Clips, which is I'm still experimenting with, and it's a very powerful tool that Apple has made to do simple video editing. Does that answer your question? And if you want to get more technical, I can get real technical. And there's so much used equipment on the market right now from the last, really, 10 years. It was about 10 years ago that the Canon 5D Mark II was introduced. And from that, it started a revolution of really cheap, powerful cameras and equipment. And I'm happy to talk about that and set you up with whatever you need. Any other questions? I know we're hitting that 45 mark. Thank you guys for coming. Come talk to me if you need anything. Thanks for being here. Tell your stories.